From the First Midwest Bank Studio on State Street, this is WMVP WSHE HD2, Chicago.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
You want to check us out later this week, Friday, Miller time?
Check us out.
We're going to be in Mount Prospect for a Football Friday show. We always have a great time out in Mount Prospect. We are going to be at a place called Draft Picks. I don't know if we've ever been there, but I'm sure...
I've never been a Draft Pick, so I have no idea where I'm going to be.
Ryan Pace has traded a few of these before.
Yeah.
Traded up for a few of these. Traded up for some draft picks.
Am I accurate to say as well that in the last 6 years, the Bears have had the fewest number of draft picks?
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, because you know they're in go-for-it mode.
Well, we get
it. You're that close.
Yes.
You know, why not? We're just one player away. Why not? Let's give up a fourth for Nick Foles and play him for six games and then say, didn't work. Sorry, let's sign Andy Dalton. And it's really the circle of suck.
Put it that way, it just makes it. Yeah.
And we wonder why we don't have a line, because we're busy trading for Andy. We're busy trading for Nick Foles, and then being done with him after five or six games, and then paying money for Andy Dalton, and then playing him for a game and a half. $10 million. It could be an offensive lineman on a 1 year deal.
I want to revisit this thought real quick as well. Was Nick Foles a product of being bad, or was Nick Foles a product of an environment where nobody has been able to succeed?
I think Nick Foles is not a raising all ships guy, but Nick Foles, under the right circumstances, can do that with the right support staff. He's shown us that on a couple of times in his career. Jacksonville was a mess. Their philosophy was, we're not Jacksonville, so we can support him with all of our guys.
Yeah.
You know what, Bears? You're Jacksonville. Especially on offense.
Jacksonville North.
And that's what it is. But anyway.
Jacksonville averages more points than they do. Only the Jets and Houston average fewer points than us.
It's crazy. So we're at a bar called Draft Picks in Mount Prospect. That's at 912 Bussey Road. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite. It's this Friday. Are we going to go Halloween costumes? Are we going to encourage Halloween costumes?
Well, yeah, if you want to.
Yeah. All right.
I'm not going to, but if people want to come with Halloween costumes, that's great. By the way, the Jags, they average 5 more points per game than we do.
Yeah.
And they average 19.3. We average 14.4.
Unbelievable.
The Jags are 5 points better per game offensively than we are.
It's something. 312-332-3776. So I got back from Tampa this morning. A lot of the people from Chicago had some flight issues, so I was very, very lucky to get in. I saw JD at the airport today. It's great to catch up with JD. JD gave my son his credential. Mason loves that stuff. He wore it the whole flight. I think he even wore
just
it to
like
school.
His daddy.
Just he loves the credential.
Loves himself a credential.
And it's got Jeff Dickerson on it. I said it was like Mean Joe Green handing the kid the jersey for the Coke, right?
Yes.
Hey, kid.
Coca-Cola, yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, Coca-Cola. Yeah. Mac, yes.
I'm just saying. Like, you never know.
So we were in Vegas. You, Abdallah, me.
Mm-hmm.
We saw thousands of Bears fans.
It's unbelievable.
So many people listen to the Waddle and Sylvie show. So many people who travel just to see this team.
And if it's not the people traveling, it's people that are transplanted in these different cities that are still Bears fans.
So true. I saw so many people in South Florida who have moved down there and still listen to our show. I saw many people who traveled because they want to get away.
Yeah.
So there's this wide variety of Chicagoans who all they want to do by the thousands is support their football team.
Love their football.
All they want to do is spend a few hours and a weekend leisurely supporting their team. It's the charter franchise. There have been many great years and years ago. And I know some of you out there are going to say, buyer beware, too bad, so sad. That's on you. Stay away. It's the only way they're going to get the message. This is so important to so many people. This is their entertainment. Some people like going to the theater. Some people like going to the movies. Some people like going to museums. Other people like to go to sporting events. They like to wear their jerseys drink beer,
stand
eat
at the top
food.
Of the escalator, scream at the opponent's fans.
Some of those guys too, Waddle.
Yeah.
They come in all shapes and sizes.
Amen, bro.
And it's a I saw families at the pool at the Marriott. Guys from the North Shore. His name's Bobby K. Big North Shore
Bobby
guy.
Bobby K.
Bob, shout out Bobby K. He was there with his three sons who have all been moved to Miami now. And what do? They bond. They've been doing it for years. They go to Bears games. They do it. And all this fan base wants to do, whether you live in Chicago and you've never been to a game because you cannot afford it, or you have PSLs and you go to home games, or you're transplanted and all you do is wait for the time that the Bears are close to your city. And all you want to do is pack it up and maybe go with your dad or take your kids or your mom or whatever and go to a game for 3.5 hours and cheer for your favorite team because it's in your blood. And I just keep saying it. I looked at all these fans again. I see the support in Vegas. Thousands in Tampa. They're the Super Bowl champions, and we still, as Bears fans, had over 20,000 people, and they refuse to love us back. They refuse to love us back. It doesn't matter how loyal we are. It doesn't matter how long we stand by. We wait and we wait and we wait, and we hope that this is our year and this is our quarterback and this is when we're finally going to join the big boy club of offense.
You're standing outside their building with a boombox held over your head.
Exactly, yeah. Right? Like John Cusack.
Yeah.
And here's White Sox Dave yelling at me because I'm holding my boombox, yeah. And I... No,
but you keep calling. You keep calling her and telling her that it would be a really good decision on her behalf to actually grant you this first date, and that you're really cool and this is going to be fun. And she keeps hanging up on you or not even picking up your phone. Is that kind of where we're going with?
Well, I don't know about that. I'm just saying that the lazy take on this is to not do it. To come after me and say, Sylvie, then don't support that. No, we should be able to do what we love to do. We want to support the Bears. All we should be doing is demanding a better product. This is not an us problem. This is not a former Bears problem like guys like Waddle. This is not a Bears season ticket holder problem. This is not because I'm going on the road wanting to see this team and this, and they'll support them through thick and thin. That's the sign of a good, loyal fan base. That's going to make it sweeter when the day finally does arrive, when they clean house, when they decide to sell the team or whatever. But this is not an us problem, and don't let anybody of the thousands of people who do like to go to games and do like to travel like I did, don't let anybody point the finger at you and say that you're the problem, because we're not the problem. It's them.
I wouldn't criticize anybody for going to Soldier Field to watch the game against the 49ers this weekend.
Right,
is this how you want to use your disposable income and spend time with your family or friends? I'm never going to criticize you for doing that. And by the way, I don't think that you can have that much of an impact on an NFL franchise by not going to games. There's only 8 of them. Now 9 for some teams.
And that's what
I'm
saying.
There's only 8 of them. And they cash a check for $305 million before the season kicks off with the accumulated television rights fees cash. Every team gets a check for over $300 million. I wish that you could have a greater impact on a franchise by not showing up. And I'm not telling you not to.
But
you do it however you want.
Even if it did have an impact, it shouldn't be up to us. It's ass backwards.
Of course.
To blame the fans. Blame them. Blame them for hiring the wrong guys constantly.
It's like blaming Aaron Rodgers for being mean to you after you've taunted him and he taunts you back.
Yeah, it's not on us. Alex in Lake Geneva, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Alex?
Hey, fellas. So I really wanted to make 2 points. The first one is Nagy. I'm so glad that him and the team are so close with each other, but how about we try to get close to the end zone once in a while?
Fair.
I mean, God almighty. And then point two, imagine being a Bear fan who lives out of the state, who purchased the NFL Red Zone to be able to watch their Bears or get a glimpse of them. Those poor SOBs are still sitting on their couches waiting for the game to start.
Thanks, Alex. Yeah, I mean, 3 points in the modern NFL. That's all we can do. Matt in Rockford, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Matty?
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you.
Don't hold it against me, but I'm a diehard Ohio State Buckeye fan from Ohio, Buckeye through and through. I watched Justin Fields play every single down, every snap while he was at Ohio State the last 2 years. The guy is a stud. Good quarterback. The Bears do not have a quarterback problem. We have a team problem. The only way to get through all of this is you've got to strip it down and start over. So I would start calling teams, start calling GMs and the guys on our team with high contracts to get outside of contract purgatory. Start selling everybody off, get draft picks, get rid of the president, Nagy everybody. That is the only way there is a chance. Otherwise, we're going to be 8-9 every year. So,
well, you can't, you know, like, this is a misconception, too, I think, in football. You can't, you know, the trade deadline's in 2 weeks. You can't just start moving guys. Because when you move them, you have to accelerate all of their dead cap money into this year, which then puts you over the top. You can't do it. So, like, you can make minor moves. But there are financial constraints that you have based on how the salary cap is put into place and written. So I get the frustration. Trade them all! You can't in the NFL.
Right. Well, do you know how they've done this homework with Arlington? And they're down the road on Arlington. This has probably taken months, right? The work, the work has taken months of inquiries and figuring out if they can make it work. And they still may not know if this is ultimately going to work. But it took months and months. George can't react in January, and he'll probably make the wrong choice then anyway.
Well, you're going to have a lot of competition because there's going to be a lot of open seats
in
the NFL.
Well, he needs to start making calls about how do I do this differently. He needs to call different people
Everybody.
Who's ever built a team. Call Theo Epstein. How do I start at the top? Call John McDonough. Call people who have run football teams. Call Peyton Manning. Peyton, what would you do? I'm not saying to hire them.
Hire Adam Gase.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was pretending to be Peyton Manning.
Oh, you're doing your Peyton Manning?
I was just saying.
Look, like, everyone's entitled to throw an incompletion or a
totally,
pick.
Totally fair. Totally fair.
Joe on 355. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Joe?
Yeah, hi, guys. Hey, thanks a lot. Love the show. Tommy Waddle, love you,
Joe,
man.
Thanks for all those
great years as a Bear.
Thank you.
Here's what I got, okay? Now, you know, you look at Matt Nagy, and it's obvious he's a horrible coach. But let's look a little deeper. Let's peel off a layer of this onion, okay?
Yeah.
This guy, there's no fear on this team. Nobody on this team fears that coach, and no one is held accountable. You've had 5 players ejected from games in less than 3 years. That's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. Then we've got all these dead ball pre-snap penalties constantly happening. That's a sign of poor coaching, lack of discipline, and no accountability across the board. He is an awful football coach who's got an awful GM. I mean, how do these people keep their jobs?
It's a good question, and listen, as I've said before, I'm all for critiquing the coach, but if you critique the coach and you stop there, you're missing the boat.
No, he hit the GM,
no,
too.
I know. Right? Like most people
how
don't.
Do they keep their job? How'd they do it last year? How'd they convince him?
Oh, that press conference was awful.
Joe.
They were 8-8, and they made it to the postseason. That's what convinced him.
And Joe, my fear
We pulled out of the 6-game losing streak.
Right. My fear is they're going to beat San Francisco. They're going to beat Detroit again. They're going to win one or two against the Vikings. They're going to beat Pittsburgh. And then next thing you know, they're up to 8 wins. And, oh, we're not that bad.
Yeah, it's.
And then,
let's
keep everybody again, and they're our football guys.
Listen, Joe. If you look at this thing closely, the only answer is you head into the 2022 season and you completely tear it down. You have to. You've tried this now for 3 years.
But, right, you can't tear it. That's my point. You can't tear it down just in January.
No.
Start the legwork today.
But my point is you can't. This situation you can't just fix.
Right.
They've tried to do that. You're one of the oldest rosters in the league, and you have one of the biggest cap issues going forward. So nobody ever wants to start over. Everyone thinks they're a player or two away from really, truly competing. They're not. Again, they're closer to a 6-10 team than they are a 10-6 team, which tells you that they need a significant rebuild in a lot of spots.
Yes.
And you're going to have to start that sooner rather than later. Are they going to prove me wrong over the next 10 games and go on some wild winning streak and become a legitimate contender in the NFC? I'll bet against that. The same way I bet against them being a true contender for anything this year.
Yeah. Matt Nagy announced today stepping away from the team for a few days. We'll tell you why coming up next.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Don't forget, you can watch the show as well on twitch.tv. Good interaction on there as well. There's the chat box. Our channel,
What's in the box?
What's in the box? ESPN 1000 Chicago is our...
What's in the box right now?
I haven't checked in there. We could we can do a round of that later.
Are people apathetic? Are they angry? Apathy's the worst.
Yes.
The worst emotion. If you're a sports franchise, and... apathetic fan is significantly worse than an angry fan.
And that's what I worry about. That someone said, this isn't a knock on your show. He tweeted me earlier. He said, this isn't a knock on your show.
Which
he
usually says, means it is.
But he says, I've heard this same show for the last 10 years.
I'm with you.
It's not us. It's the Bears. It's whether it's the end of Lovey, whether it's the end of Trestman, the end here with Nagy. It was like this, the end of Dave Wannstedt. You know, he went 0-7, I want to say, in 97, and they kept him. They kept him into 98. He was 4-12, I want to say, in 97 with an 0-7 start. And they didn't win until overtime in Miami. And they still kept him.
Well, as you have hit on a number of times, you're going to make a change. But if it's the same person in charge of facilitating the change, then the likelihood that you're going to get it right is very low.
We've documented it, too. Greeny had a good rant about it. It's over and over. It's the Dave McGinnis fiasco. It's hiring Mark Trestman instead of Bruce Arians.
You have to do business differently with different people and different voices, or your destiny is the same, you know, destination.
They've had a chance at greatness many times, but they failed to choose the right guy. Then we don't even know if they do get the right guy, if he would even be great here, because it's so terrible at the top. I want to play you Matt Nagy. So Matt Nagy out of the building after the big kumbaya yesterday in the culture, after him talking about how they got closed for the last 24 to 48 hours.
That's a hollow refrain at this point.
Matt Nagy told us this at his Zoom press conference today, and it was Zoomed for this reason.
Obviously, with the heightened COVID protocol and the league, and the shift to Zoom today is a part of my morning usual Monday routine. And unfortunately, this morning it came back that I was positive for COVID. So I will not be in the building. This is something that for us, it's a reminder to all of us, you know, to be extremely cautious and to understand where we're at. We've seen it obviously with other teams in the league and society in general. So we're working through all that. You know, in OTAs, we kind of went through this before where I was out. So, you know, I know our group of coaches and players are extremely resilient, and for us, moving forward, you know, we're going to have a good plan put in place and all different plans put in place. So I just, again, I appreciate y'all's understanding for that. And I wanted to start off with that. And other than that, you know, in regards to the game, nothing changed from what we discussed last night. After watching the tape, when you turn the ball over, you know, on the other side of the field for them, It's something that against that team, they're going to make you pay, and they did that. So, you know, we have to fix it. We got to learn from it, and that's the only thing we can do, and our guys will do that.
Rinse and repeat. Fix it, learn from it, find out the whys. Nagy's got COVID or is on the protocol. He's vaccinated.
Yeah.
And
every NFL coach has to be.
Right.
Or they're not allowed in the
whole staff, right? And the so with two negative tests, within the 24 or 48-hour period, he can return. So I would think he'll be back for Sunday, but we were joking around. Now's the perfect time to check out an interim coach.
Yeah, listen, two things come to mind for me. First of all, I hope he's okay and healthy, because my disgust with the level of play of their football team has nothing to do with how I feel about him as a human being, and I hope that he's okay and his family's okay. Second point is I have no idea what he was talking about yesterday when he talked about how we're all so close.
I will say the last couple of days with our team,
we've become really close.
What does that mean? And, like, honestly, seriously, I don't need to hear any more of it. But it's like this.
It is. Don't look here. We lost to the Super Bowl champions. We only scored 3 points. Our first round quarterback that I'm paid to develop has been brutal. We can't protect him. He hasn't been good. There's nobody doing their job out there, which I'm in charge of all of that. But I just want to let you know that we've had good moments together.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Look over here. Like, look over here. No, I know. But what do you call it? The magic? You know?
Yeah, now you see me, now you don't. No, I know, but like that doesn't.
I will say the last couple of days with our team, we've become really close.
We joked about it a month ago. It comes out again with the Stuart Smalley stuff. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like me.
I just don't know what it's supposed to mean, though. Like, despite these difficult times, we know. I got an idea for you. Instead of finding your way out of a 6-game losing streak, out of that hole, don't dig the hole to start with. Like, the only reason you have to rally from losing 6 in a row is because you lost 6 in a row.
That's the point. You're in the blank storm because you create the blank storm.
So it's just like,
my God, it's raining poop. What do we do now?
Well, you turn off the poop machine that you've turned on.
You've created it. So don't compliment yourself that you've gotten out of it before after 6 in a row.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
I will say the last couple of days with our team, we've become really close.
Well, isn't that what you say? Like, isn't that like that? You guys have kids. Isn't this like the Disney movie, like Little Big Green or Rookie of the Year, or whatever? Where they're like, we know we're bad, but like someone gives a speech and they all go out for some like weird bonding thing. Or like, remember the movie The Replacements, where they all get arrested and then it brings them together because they're dancing in jail. Like that's the
is this the rallying cry?
Yeah, this is the guy. The Bears all got arrested. And they're dancing in the jail, and now they're going to go out and win some football games.
This is the opposite of when the Bears fans used to say, or the former Bears players is, you know what, we may have lost the game, but damn it, they knew they played the Bears.
Yeah.
They were sore. And next week, they got their ass kicked because they had to go through us the week before. This is now kumbaya time.
The story
we suck, but at least we're together.
The story of this team, at least over the last 3 years, will be the following. You just got beat 38-3. It felt like a 50-burger, like a 50-burger feels. Like, it just did. It wasn't, though. They'll go out Sunday and beat a 49ers team that is struggling with injuries again. They don't have a quarterback. And they'll be back to 4-4. And you will, as a fan, some of you will ride the roller coaster, and the highs are thrilling. And you get you get tingles in important spots. And then the lows come again.
But
and
what
then
are
you
the
can't...
highs? Give me one of the highs from the last few years.
Like, well,
mediocre highs. Do you know what I mean? This is a kiddie coaster. We're not going on a free fall. Like, this isn't a thrill ride.
No.
Like,
no.
Like, what has been the biggest thrill in the last 2 years of Bears football?
They made it to the postseason.
Like, with what win, with what moment?
Listen, you're making me to defend the undefensible.
They don't beat the Packers. You've always said they don't come up with that one win or two wins that make you say that's their signature victory.
This is a cycle. And again, you don't break the cycle by just hoping and praying and getting close with the people in your building. That's not how you break the cycle.
Big C is back on the south side. He's probably pissed at me again for no reason. Big C, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, and don't cut me off, man. But y'all got a bad night trying to get in.
What happened last night? Why'd you have a bad night?
I have a bad night. It ain't good with me, but it shows the fact. Of the matter is, like our defense, y'all never want to talk about the good thing. It's all y'all stuck on. Y'all want to see the Bears win the way y'all want them to win. We have a running game. Our defense played good.
Bills they gave up the game 38 up. Points.
Bills gave them short field. The defense still held their end.
Yeah. They're like, I mean, come on. Let's just be honest. Like, we compliment the defense when the defense deserves to be complimented. I'm not throwing out any bouquets to a group that got hit for 38 yesterday. I'm just not.
But Tom.
Yeah.
How did they get hit for 38? Look at this. I even my girlfriend.
Five touchdowns and a field goal?
Now I want to hear the girlfriend story.
But Justin Fields, he gave it up. Okay, my girlfriend, we watched it, right? Uh-huh. And this for the last 3 weeks. I tell her, I like, look at Justin Field when he had the line of scrimmage. And yesterday, CPS put the camera on his eyes. So I said, okay, she looked at him. So then I said, look at the other quarterback when they had the line of scrimmage. So we did this week for week. And she said, oh, I see why. Because he can't read the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, but you're talking about, you just went from the defense to Justin Fields not being able to read things at the line of scrimmage.
No, because you were talking about five touchdowns. He gave up the five touchdowns with the five turnovers. He gave short field. But yeah, you can't put that on the defense.
Right. Yeah, so, I can't. Yes, I can put four touchdown passes on the defense. I can.
But what about they look like dogs? They look like dogs. They all got their hand on their hips, tongue hanging out their mouth, and stop and goal line stances. Don't do them guys like that. They deserve better. Mac deserved better. Y'all infatuated because y'all went by the jersey and want to see the jersey on the field.
I don't own any jerseys. I've never bought a jersey in my life.
My kids have jerseys, but I mean, I just want the offense to score more than three.
Yeah,
but the thing is, don't do them guys like that. And then look at the running game. We averaging, about over 100 yards in the offensive line. They can block for the running game. So it's something other than just putting it on the old line and trying to jump on a low man on a totem pole. There's more to the story.
And what is the story?
The story is the guy's not ready. Simple as that. Now y'all don't want to admit to it that Nagy was right. The guy's not ready.
If you're you want to ride with Nagy. You say Nagy was right. Nagy hasn't been right about anything. Nagy wasn't right about anything. He's not been right since the moment he's walked in the building.
Silver, you were a big Nagy guy. Y'all do this about every coach.
And then I learned. Here's how I start, Big C. It's not hard. I try to buy in as a Bears fan, okay? So when they do get someone, I give them the benefit of the doubt. When they start winning in the beginning, I thought he was good. Then in 19, I learned from multiple mistakes, and I started questioning, why is he bad? And then at the end of the year, I demanded that he give up play calling duties, which he eventually did in 20.
We need an owner like Jerry Jones. They're not going to listen to y'all crap. They're going to do what he's going to do, and eventually you'll win.
So you're blaming the media. You think the Bears listen to us?
Yeah, the fans. Yeah, they listen to y'all because y'all forced the hand for Field to be on the field. He shouldn't be out
there. If they listened to us, Nagy and Pace would have been gone last year.
Yep.
We interviewed George and we said
the good kid said it earlier. The good kid said it earlier. Said Nagy does not have any because he let somebody force him to put the guy in. The good kid said it earlier.
Well, who's forcing him? That should show you how bad this organization is. Is it the GM? Is it Ted Phillips? Is it George?
No, it's not us. The McCaskey is catering to the fans. They've been for years. You all want to win the way
they catered to the fans, they would have fired these guys last year, and they would have gotten things right in years past. Big C,
you're blaming the wrong people. We need a Jerry Jones type owner. They're not going to listen to y'all crap because y'all don't know.
Jerry Jones hasn't won a Super Bowl since Troy Aikman was the quarterback.
But they're going to win it this year. And how much you want to bet me on that? And
hey, Tom,
you do a good job being political. I give you that.
Political? What does that mean?
I don't know what.
That means you tell it both ways. You're not going to just jump on one side and then you admit when you're wrong about something. They're like the Cutler issue. It's all over again.
Listen, what
Big C, I love you, but I call back next week and yell at me again. Okay?
I've pointed out that there's a lot of blame to go around on this offensive carousel.
Let's continue the comment. This is what they've done to us. They are breaking all of us up.
No, they're not breaking me up.
Well, no, this is what I mean. We're not looking at the ball. Keep your eye on the ball. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
They sit up there at House Hall and laugh at us while we're all arguing amongst each other as Bears fans. We all want the same thing, but now it's like it's our fault. Like, because they listen to us. I wish George would listen to us.
I was an advocate for change last year at the end of the season. Because for the following reason, I still go back to what bothered me most last year was it took them until the final five or six games of the season to realize what the best way to utilize Mitch Trubisky was. That's the easiest game plan in the entire NFL universe to put together for a quarterback who has limitations. It's really simple to put that game plan together. Now, as you find out, what ends up happening is you can beat bad teams playing with that game plan. You can't beat good teams. When you have to get out there and score a bunch of points, you can't do it by packing everything in and only running the football. It's 2021. Same way this Bears team's not going to be able to do this stuff. They pack everything in to protect the young quarterback for good reason. Otherwise, when you spread everything out, you've got your third offensive right tackle. You've got your second offensive left tackle. Like, you're on backups to backups right now.
And there were times when they weren't giving the right tackle any help.
So, like,
they weren't giving him any help.
Right.
So even if Fields has to get better on stuff, like Tommy Knuckles.
Which he does.
He does. Of course he does. This is going to be a growth process. We don't know it because we've never been through it truly the right way. Tommy Knuckles tweet. He's mad at me. Hey, Mark, I was at the game like you. And I know when they start with Mark, they either call me Mark or they call me by my last name.
Did he get you
only
with a C or a K?
The T. He got it right, though, good. Tommy. Tommy Knuckles got it right. Says, hey, Mark, I was at the game like you. So now, as you got to see them play live against a good team, whose fault is it, in your opinion, that the Bears played so crappy? A combo? The coach? Offensive line?
Yes.
The defense?
Yes.
Or the rookie quarterback, who's obviously not completely ready for the NFL game?
All the above.
But here's always been my point about how flawed their plan was. What was the point of getting Andy Dalton up to speed? Maybe Justin Fields would be more ready if they would have tried to develop him in training camp.
Yeah, I'm not.
Wait a minute. When you don't get first team reps in training camp because you don't have a chance.
Okay, well, he's been getting.
It's their job to get him ready.
I get it.
Not mine.
At this point, he's had first team reps in practice for 5 weeks.
Okay, that's still not enough. You know it takes time.
I do. I'm just saying, like, this was still going to be a rocky road regardless.
Oh, and I said that. Get your barf bag. Let's fasten your seatbelts. This is going to be a process. It shouldn't be this bad. But this is, you're going to blame me because I want the kid to play so we have a destination, so we're not playing another middle of the road, over the hill, mediocre quarterback?
Once you've started down this road, there's no reason to go back. There's no reason to go back to.
It makes...
For what reason? I mean, this team was not competing for anything to begin with. And I think we've given ample credit to this defense when it's due.
Like, you this did team last was, week when Nagy said that it was a team effort.
Yes.
And like, the defense has to put the offense in a better position. You go, why are you speaking the name of the defense?
I spent the whole first half of last week questioning why the head coach would point the finger at the defense that currently at that point was 7th in yards per game and 8th in points per game. Are they dominant like they were in 2018? No, but there are very few dominant defenses in the league right now. There's been a shift. Like, they're, I don't, you think the Rams are a dominant defense? Like, there really isn't a dominant defense. There are teams that take the ball away, that play really well at times, but at the end of the day, they still give up points. Like, there is no real steel curtain any longer.
I think the Bears have a good defense.
It's a defense that they can compete with week in and week out.
I don't think they're great. I think they got a good defense. And nothing wrong with that. My buddy Jason texts me and he says, this is our entire lives as Bears fans. We grew up together. We're about the same age. We've always had a weird coach. We have fired multiple general managers that draft poorly. We've had bad or mediocre offenses our entire life. We have always hoped for tough defenses. We've always hoped to have a good run game. We've never had a quarterback. And the only constants is the McCaskey family owning them, and then the last 25 years, Ted Phillips leading the way as president of the organization. So you can circle this guy. You could circle the line. You could circle Fields. You could circle Nagy. You could circle Lazor. You can circle Ryan Pace. Until George gets out of his comfort zone and he realizes that they're the two constants. And if he really wants to listen, he would understand that he would do a full-scale reorganization. The Blackhawks didn't get good until they reorganized their organization. The old man passed away. Rocky made rash changes. Didn't stay the course. When the Cubs were bought by the Ricketts, say what you want if you like Tom Ricketts now and how he got rid of the team. What did he do? He went out and he fired Jim Hendry. Staying the course wasn't the right way. The Tribune way wasn't the right way. We're going to hire the best guy out there to reorganize our entire front office and get with modern times.
Need a new voice.
This will not change, not only with just a new voice, but an entire new way of doing football business at 1920 Football Drive in Lake Forest.
We'll see if they have the appetite going forward for change.
312-332-3776. Our buddy Marcus in Minneapolis wants a crack today. What's up, Marcus?
What's going on, guys?
You.
Hey, man. Hey, Tom Waddy asked what Ken is going to apathetic. I would say I'm happily apathetic, and the reason is, another team that I was apathetic for a couple years ago, the Bulls. The Bulls are back. Chicago Bears fans. If you embrace the team, the
Hi, Marcus. I got to spring you. Your phone is not good. Jordan in Cedar Lake. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Yeah, I'm hearing some weird things from previous callers. I think Matt Nagy's word sale is a little contagious. But, hey, I wanted to say I think we should give some homework to the ESPN 1000 audience. You know, you said that George and the guys don't listen to the radio. Why don't we try to do some homework for them and come up with a list of qualified coaching candidates for next year? I mean, I think we should – we're obviously already having this conversation. Let's look at some of the teams that have good offensive head coordinators with young QBs, the Bills, the Cardinals – the Chargers. Let's start putting together some names, and maybe we can, get the mechanics to pay attention. I don't know.
I think, Jordan, though, it's a good thought, but you're starting too low again.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and who's hiring this coach? You letting Pace hire this coach?
Well, no, I mean, I get you. Yeah, I mean,
now we're going to start a list of GMs. And who's picking this GM? Is it Ted Phillips, who's picked all the wrong guys in the last 25 years?
So then let's start higher. Let's
start a list of presidents. That's the point. This is why it is such a disaster, and it continues to be that year after year. 312-332-3776. You got the nuttiest story of the day, right?
Of course I do.
And you always have a voice on this show. 312-332-3776. It's a Bears Monday, and it's brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
So you got the, we'll get to the nuttiest story of the day and continue. You want to watch
what's
in the box?
What's in the box?
Twitch.tv, just heard Big Voice Guy say it, and ESPN 1000 Chicago. When you're there, follow us. You can interact, too. It's the chat box there. And you can watch us inside the First Midwest Bank studio. Also, easy ways to listen, not only on the ESPN Chicago app, it's ESPN 1000, and now 100.3 HD2. So, again, like, everybody is, there's somebody in the box saying, in
what's
all
in
caps,
box?
Yelling, Ted isn't going anywhere. I don't need Ted to go to anywhere. I've given you my plan. You restructure it like the Cubs restructured it. He could go
Crane
and
Kenny
build the stadium.
Crane Kenny was in charge of baseball issues for forever.
And do you know what Crane did well? Crane traveled to Boston, and he looked at what they did with Fenway Park. And when the Cubs were rebuilding their roster with Theo Epstein and doing it the right way with baseball, Crane Kenny was getting business ops the right way in rebuilding Wrigley.
He had value for the franchise.
So, Ted, here you go. We got the perfect thing for you. We're separating the way we do business. I've never accused them of, quote, meddling. I've accused them of not knowing how to run a football team.
Making bad decisions.
Making bad decisions.
Bad personnel or bad hirings.
You're over here, Tad, and we're going to build you a separate office in Arlington Heights. You can live there. We'll build you a bunk bed, too. You could have George sleep over at times. And
I don't care about their living arrangements. I just want the arrangement inside the building to be different.
But again, and then you rebuild that football front office entirely. How the hell they're going to find that right guy, I don't know, because it's got to start somewhere.
It's not my job.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that George still has to ultimately hire that right czar of football operations, president of the football team, who hires the GM, who hires the coach.
I just think that person, because of how things have gone in the past, and I don't know what their appetite for change is. I don't. I mean, I would assume at some point you get tired of it, right? They haven't to this point. But I would just be more comfortable with someone that has had some sort of football experience sitting in that chair.
Right.
And then that person hires a general manager. And then that general manager hires a coach.
Not a consultant who rides off into the sunset after they hire someone and has no skin in the game.
Right.
Don't need that. Michael says, hey, Sylvie, do you think George McCaskey is pissed right now? Because in the last two games with Rodgers saying, quote, I own you, and then getting blown out by the GOAT, or are they giving the current regime an excuse since those two quarterbacks are obviously great, great players? It's a great question. They were embarrassed with Aaron Rodgers on their home field wearing their green uniforms for the first time, saying, I own you, I've always owned you. And then they don't even put up a fight on national TV.
This is what I would think would be what would make them unhappy, is that in the fourth year of this new plan, they are still one of the worst offenses in the National Football League. And you went out and you hired an offensive-minded head coach. You entrusted him to develop quarterbacks. He got one that wasn't his, couldn't get the most out of him. Another one who is his, and we're seeing some struggles going on now.
And then the Foles, don't forget, was supposed to be his
guy.
System guy. Yeah.
And you've got an entire offensive issue right now. Offensive line doesn't pass block well. Receivers aren't getting separation. It all equates to a group that in almost four full years, they averaged 21 points per game. Now, whether you think Justin Fields is ready or not, this goes beyond him, all right? Would Andy Dalton be able to pick up a blitz quicker? Maybe so. But at the end of the day, regardless of who's under center for you, you aren't competing for anything, and that's what's most frustrating. So, like, we could sit around and think that, you know, this is going to be the right decision or that's going to be the right decision. At the end of the day, you have to come to terms with the fact that your offense has ranked bottom five in most offensive statistical meaningful categories for almost full 4 years. And that's not progress. And until you decide you want to change that, you're going to keep finding yourself in this vicious cycle where your defense is competitive. Some years they're really, really good. Other years they're good. Other years they're acceptable and they're competitive. But the one constant is your offense can't break wind. So, I mean,
oh, they can poop though.
So at the end, again, like we can get to an 8-8 record or an 8-9 record once again. And same formula, your defense is going to make some stops. Your offense is going to beat some bad teams. You're still going to rank bottom. Listen, Dude, they average 250 yards per game.
I know. Do you have the nuttiest story of the day?
I do have one. About a machine-wielding clown arrested in Ontario. Brought to you by our good friends at Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, A Night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
Police allege a drug deal went bad, and it ended in a machete-wielding clown dragging a man out of a business before riding off on his bicycle.
That would freak you out, because you hate clowns,
number one,
and you don't like machetes.
I don't. Who does like a good machete? The bizarre scene... Good wine, though. Machete wine, but not the weapon.
Oh, really?
The bizarre scene unfolded at around 2:30 in the morning last Friday when police were called to a business. The caller indicated a male wearing a clown mask and carrying a machete had dragged another man out of the business. The other man was able to break free and escape. Police say the clown's getaway attempt was fairly comical. He hopped on a bicycle and tried to ride off with the machete sticking out of his backpack.
Look, the Joker had some weird modes of transportation, too. That's scary stuff.
Yeah, he was caught and he now faces several charges. So... Like, what can I? What
do you do?
That's it. That's all I got for you on a day where we're lamenting another Bears
week,
loss.
Guys, a lot of clown stories.
Yeah, it's a good point. I hate clowns.
I know. Not a lot of people love clowns.
I'm not a good clown guy.
312-332-3776. Unfortunately, the clown status up north at Hallis.
It's a clown show.
It's high. Yeah. We don't like clowns, that's for sure. All right, in two short minutes, the art of negotiation. Tony Romo had some input when it came to negotiating. We'll play you that in two short minutes. It's...